Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabi wa man tabi'ahum wa walahum bi ihsan ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. Respected ulama ikram, respected elders and brothers, at the time of the advent of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam, this world was a very, very dark, gloomy, and a very messed up place. Sympathy, compassion, kindness were all but forgotten. Oppression, corruption, injustice had become the order of the day. Kufr, shirk, and disbelief was rampant. And to put it to you in short, my dear brothers, at that time, humanity was on the path to destruction and on a collision course with eternal gloom. And it was in this kind of world and this messed up society and world that our Savior and our Master, Rahmatul Lil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was sent to save us and grant us salvation from eternal doom and to grant us everlasting happiness and everlasting peace and joy. وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَىٰ شَفَىٰ حُفْرَةٍ مِّنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِّنْهَا. Allah Ta'ala says that humanity, you were upon a pit, upon the edge of a pit from the pits of Jahannam. But by sending Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to mankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved us and saved humanity from eternal destruction. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam was now entrusted with the mammoth task and the very, very huge mission of putting an end to the evil and the darkness of this world and establishing the nizam, the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and spreading the light of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam into this world with the mission to cause the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prevail over all the other systems and all the other religions of the world. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam went about his mission with seriousness until approximately 20 years later, when Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam is now on his farewell hajj. And there, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses his sahaba, and he poses the question to the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, Ala hal ballaght? O my sahaba, what do you say? Have I fulfilled my mission? Have I adequately and properly spread to you and conveyed to you the deen and the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And at that gathering, the large number of sahaba, the loyal supporters of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, in one voice, all of them answered in the affirmative. And it is our belief and our yaqeen that Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam ballagha ar-risala. He conveyed the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa adda al-amana. And he fulfilled the trust. Wa nasaha al-umma. And he wished well and he advised the ummah. Wa kashafa al-ghumma. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam removed and saved us from eternal doom and gloom. Now, my dear brothers, if we have to fast forward 14 centuries later and come to our day and age, and we have to observe the world around us, we will notice that very, very quickly, this world is once again starting to look like the very same dark, gloomy, and messed up place that it was in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We find that it's becoming a world that was like how it was in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is precisely the prophecy of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي مَا أَتَىٰ عَلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ حَذْوَ النَّعْلِ بِالنَّعْلِ. That my ummah will follow in when it comes to evil and immorality, my ummah will follow in the footsteps of the nations before you, and particularly the Bani Israel. حَذْوَ النَّعْلِ بِالنَّعْلِ. In the exact precise footsteps of the Bani Israel, to such an extent, hatta in kana minhum man ata ummahu ala niyatan lakana fi ummati man yasna'u dhalik. To such an extent that if there had been a person from the Bani Israel who had openly committed incest with his own mother, then there would be those people in my ummah who will perpetrate the very same ghastly acts. The increase in the fitna and the vice and the evil that we're seeing in the world, my dear brothers, is only the beginning. What we are seeing currently, especially the spread of the evil in the blessed lands of Arabia, is only the beginning. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam predicted that times worse than this will come. لا تقوم الساعة حتى تضطرب آليات بني آليات النساء those حول ذي الخلاصة. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam prophesied and said that Qiyamah will not come. Qiyamah will not come until the buttocks of the woman of the Dawes tribe. The Dawes tribe, the very same tribe which the narrator of this hadith, Abu Hurairah hail from, the Dawes tribe. Until the buttocks of the woman of the Dawes tribe once again does not shake while they are circumambulating and making tawaf around Dhul Khalasa. Dhul Khalasa was an idol that was existing in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So this means that people will go back, leave Islam and go back into paganism. So my dear brothers, to put it to you in short, this world is very, very quickly descending into a state of anarchy, a state of disaster, a state of darkness and evil. And unfortunately, my dear brothers, there is no Nabi after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. There is no Nabi living amongst us who is there to remove and to dispel the darkness and evil. But my dear brothers, what we do have is the sunnah. What we do have is the seerah, the lifestyle and the methodology, the method of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in combating the evil and bringing nur and bringing brightness in this world. And what was the system? What was the methodology? What was the seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Especially in the initial and the early days of his prophethood. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after becoming a Nabi, shortly after becoming a Nabi, did immediately call out the adhan in the haram of Makkah by the Kaaba and call his sahaba to perform salah in jamaat? Not at all. Did Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shortly after becoming a Nabi, did he tell his forces, the sahaba, to mobilize and let's liberate the Kaaba from the scourge and the filth of idols and idol worship? Not at all. Yes, definitely these acts, the acts of salah and zakat and hajj, became legislated at a later time. And we have to act upon it, and we have to fulfill these commandments of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the initial efforts and the primary focus of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the early days of Nubuwwat was not focused upon the external, on the physical, but rather it was focused and it was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, effort was made upon the internal and the spiritual. That is because, my dear brothers, once the mindset and the thought of a person and the heart of a person and the mizaj of a person comes right, then it's very, very easy for a person to act upon the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna fil jasadi mudgha, idha salahat salaha al-jasadu kullu, wa idha fasadat fasadat al-jasadu kullu, ala wa hiya al-qalb. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that in the body there is a piece of flesh. When that flesh, the piece of flesh is nurtured and it is tuned in the right way, then the entire body and everything else will fall in line. But if that piece of flesh is corrupted and out of line, then the entire life of a person will become corrupted. That is why we find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nurtured and he worked upon the hearts of sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Until the time came that one command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came and the sahaba wholeheartedly accepted it and bowed down to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Anas radiallahu ta'ala says that on one occasion in Medina Munawwara, prior to the time when khamar and wine, intoxicants, have been made haram upon the ummah, my stepfather Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhum had called over a few friends for some drinks, to indulge in some intoxicants and khamar. It was not impermissible at that time as yet. So he says, we were there, the people were enjoying themselves, I was tasked with the duty of serving the drinks, tending to the guests. Whilst we were there enjoying our drinks, all of a sudden, the announcement is made, Ala inna al-khamra qad hurrimat. People, be aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now made intoxicants, Allah has made khamar haram. The sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, in that party of theirs that they were having, did not even hesitate a second. Abu Talha tells Anas radiallahu anhu, take these jars of wine and these barrels of wine that we have, and take it and spill it in the streets of Medina. Anas radiallahu anhu says that we were not the only family who did it. Rather, all of the people of Medina, immediately, one command, immediately they took their wine and they spilled it in the streets of Medina to such an extent that the streets of Medina were flowing with wine. So, إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. When the mind, when the mindset, when the mizaj is right, then it's very easy for a person to comply with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The problem that we face today, my dear brothers, is we are bayan after bayan, advice after advice. The khatib on the Jum'ah will give the bayan on the importance of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
But after that very same Jummah, many of us will walk out without performing our Sunnah Salah. The problem, the main downfall for us today, my dear brothers, and the biggest problem we face, the challenges and the difficulties that we face, many a time this stems from us, our minds and our hearts not being tuned and not being nurtured in the correct way. So my dear brothers, many times we find that people are promoting certain things, and people are encouraging certain things, and people are acting in certain ways. And when we analyze this, it is not because they really have evil intentions, but it's because the mind and the heart has not been tuned in the correct way. So the point I'm trying to make to you, my dear brothers, is that for us to overcome the difficulties and the challenges as the ummah which we face in this day and age, it's simply a case of back to the basics. Back to the basics. And I mean by this, once again we have to make that effort which Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made initially on the hearts and the mind. We have to make this effort so that our hearts and our minds can come in line with the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah. This is a very, very vast topic to discuss, my dear brothers, but I wish to share with you just 3 points in this regard. Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to act upon it. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala gives us the ability to act upon it. And at least, my dear brothers, my intention, the minimum I want, is to create some sort of awareness. That if we lack this in our lives, at least we realize and we know there is such a thing. And this is the thing I should be striving for and working towards. The first thing in this regard, my dear brothers, is we have to make a sincere effort to remove from our hearts the love, from our hearts and our minds, the love and the fear for everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remove from our hearts and our minds the love and the fear for everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the famous hadith we may have heard many, many times, Allah's Nabi said that close to Qiyamah, the ummats, the nations of the world will gather together to take part in the destruction of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sahaba asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, will this be because of external reasons? Maybe we're lacking in numbers, maybe in capacity, other things as well. Allah's Nabi said, in that regard, you will be sorted. The problem will be that your hearts will become weak. Your hearts and your minds will become weak. So Sahaba asked Allah's Nabi, what is the weakness of the heart and the mind that you're referring to? Allah's Nabi said, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ. That the people, instead of having the love of Allah in their hearts, their hearts will now be filled with the love of dunya. And instead of having the fear of Allah in their hearts, the people have the fear for death. In the famous hadith where Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained the virtue and his close bond with Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allah's Nabi said that لو كنت متخذا خليلا من أمتي لاتخذت أبا بكر خليلا. That if I was allowed to take any single person from my ummah as my khalil, as my bosom friend, that one person will be Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu because of the many, many sacrifices that he had made for me. So under the commentary of this hadith, when Shaykh Rahman Uthmani rahmatullah remains, he explains a remarkable thing. It's a bit of a scholarly discussion, but I'll try to simplify it. He says the word Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used the word Khalil. The word Khalil in Arabic stems from the root word Kha Lam Lam. He says this kind of word, the sequence of the word and the letters used in there, generally in Arabic, these kind of words indicates towards an empty space, something hollow, something empty, a gap. So he says, who is a Khalil? Who is a Khalil? A Khalil is that person, a bosom friend is that person who is within the recesses, the Samimul Qalb, within the recesses of the heart. He says the heart has a recess, it has a special place right at the center, and then you get the borders of the heart. It is fine if the love for the wife or the children or this dunya is in the borders of the heart. But in the heart there is one special place, and that place is exclusively reserved for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this hadith, Allah's Nabi was telling us that if I was allowed to take the love of anything besides Allah and put it in that special place in my heart, then the love for Abu Bakr will have taken the place. However, I am not allowed to do that because that place is reserved for the love and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers, when we have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts, then we develop, we are able to sacrifice and sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we are prepared to sacrifice for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's when Allah ta'ala will turn the tables and Allah ta'ala will bring about change in this world. We all know very well the famous story of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the great sahabi companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know about the unbearable torment that he had suffered in Makkah Mukarramah at the hands of his owners, being whipped, being lashed, being made to lie down in the boiling and scorching hot sand of Makkah Mukarramah. But because he had been nurtured, his heart and mind had been nurtured at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his love for Allah Ta'ala was so intense that the more the people beat him, the more he cried out, Rabbi Allah, my Lord is Allah. And the more they whooped him, the louder he proclaimed, Bilal proclaimed, Ahad, Ahad. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala proclaimed, Ahad, Ahad. So that the streets and gullies of Makkah began to echo what Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu's proclamation of Tawheed. Fast forward to many years later, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now again enters Makkah Mukarramah as the conqueror on the occasion of the conquest of Makkah. And on that occasion, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu to ascend upon the Kaaba. And on top of the Kaaba, in front of those people who had persecuted him and abused him, once again to call out the adhan, so that once again the streets of Makkah and the gullies of Makkah can reverberate and echo what Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu's proclamation of Tawheed. But this time not as an oppressed victim, but rather as a mighty conqueror. My dear brothers, develop the heart, the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. Then we will sacrifice for Allah. And when we sacrifice for Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn the tables and turn the condition and once again cause a resurgence in the ummah. The second thing, my dear brothers, that we have to work and make an effort that we remove this sort of inferiority complex that unfortunately many of us suffer with. The inferiority complex that has caused us to make many, many compromises in our deen. We have to understand and we have to accept in our hearts, in our mind, that the system of Islam, our deen, in its pure and pristine form, is a superior way of life. A believer who is acting upon the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is an elite and he is a superior human being. Sometimes, unfortunately, because of the wrong mindset, people say that why do Muslims want to be different? Why must we be different? This is because we are different. Allah has made us different. We are a select group. We are a special breed. And I'm not saying this. Allah is saying this. أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا لَا يَسْتَوُونَ. Allah says, can the believer and the believer ever be the same? لَا يَسْتَوُونَ. Allah says that they are never equal. The believer is an elite and a privileged person in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we can cause our minds and our hearts to accept this, my dear brothers, then many of the debates and the arguments that are going about today would become be answered very, very easily to us. If we take the system of Islam to be the superior system, so when the debate rages, should we be sending our women folk to university? And should we be throwing them into the corporate world? The teaching of Islam is very, very clear. وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ. O woman, stay in your home. الْمَرْأَةُ عَوْرَةٌ. The woman, Allah's Nabi said, the woman is a thing that has to be covered up. If we take this and accept this to be a superior teaching of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the debate does not rage on. So my dear brothers, keep in front of us always the famous call of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ عَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. We are such a nation which Allah honored us, gave us dignity, and caused us to progress because of Islam and the teaching of Islam. But as soon as we will look for honor and dignity, and look for progress in the ways other than the teachings of Islam, أَذَلَّنَ Allah, Allah Ta'ala will cause it to be disgraced. So get our hearts and minds to accept, my dear brothers, that our teachings, our deen, is a superior and elite way of life. And the last thing, my dear brothers, last thing very, very quickly, let us understand that when it comes to our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and complying with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no room for our logic and our understanding and our reasoning. There is no room for our logic, our understanding and our reasoning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and unfortunately today we see, my dear brothers, many, many people, not only is it a sad thing, but a very, very scary thing. You know, people who, they regard themselves as roshan khiyal, enlightened thinkers. But this kind of thinking in the eyes of Allah and in the eyes of the true believers is very, very dim. When it comes to the laws of Allah, if it if it complies with their reasoning, with their logic, if they can understand the wisdoms behind it, then they are prepared to act. But as soon as a teaching cannot, they cannot reason, they cannot comprehend it, then they begin to object and they begin to oppose. We notice the system of Quran or the style of Quran. Allah Ta'ala, when he came to, in the Quran, explaining ayats of the oneness and the greatness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. In many, many verses, we have mostly heard the verse, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ الْآيَاتِ لِلْعَالِمِينَ. Many verses I get. Allah, when he speaks about the issue of the tawheed, the oneness and the greatness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Allah says, then ties it up with the issue of understanding and reasoning. Because to worship one supreme being who has control over everything and who has created everything, it is absolutely logical and it makes total sense. But when it comes to those verses of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about his injunctions, complying with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah not in a single verse ever tied up acting with his commands, never ever tied it up with the issue of understanding and reasoning. Rather, Allah Ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. When it comes to the commands of Allah, then you just do it. Just act upon the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, an insan, your minds are puny. Just as our sight is limited, our hearing is limited, likewise our reasoning, understanding is also limited. There's only so much we can understand, and that's where faith and wahi kicks in. So when Allah asks us to comply, we do not question, we do not try to apply reasoning, rather we just do it and we bow down to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding.